thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Messiah United Methodist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. We hope you find it meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at 8:45 or 10:30 a.m. each Sunday. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
Before departing from his disciples for the last time, Jesus gave this instruction as well as this promise. I'm reading today from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we began this series 7 weeks ago with videos of Pastor Steve on the golf course, restarting his love of the game of golf. If you're expecting videos of me playing golf on the golf course, I think you're going to be a little disappointed. Much to my father's dismay, I've never played a round of golf in my life. But I do have a story of a restart in my life that I'd like to share with you this morning. When I was in college, I took up running. My husband calls it jogging. He's probably right, because I'm not really fast, and I don't run to win races. I run for the physical and the mental well-being that I get from running. But you know what I discovered about running pretty early on? It is boring. Anybody else can attest to that? Yep. So it was as much a mind game for me as it was a physical challenge, and I stuck with it. I even had a Walkman. Do you remember Walkmans? For those of you that are too young to know what that is, it's a portable CD player. Do you remember what a CD is? I tried that for a while, but I just couldn't overcome the boringness of it, so I gave it up. In 2005, I started walking in the Susan G. Komen 3-day breast cancer walks. Are you familiar with these walks? There are 3 days of walking, and you walk 60 miles in 3 days to raise a bunch of money and awareness for breast cancer research. Well, my friends and I put teams together, and we were committed walkers. In fact, we had a rule: no running allowed. We even pinky swore. Do you know about pinky swears? Where you hook a pinky and you make a promise to somebody? We would never run, even if we were crossing the street and the light was red and there was a car coming. We would never run. And we were pretty good at keeping our promise. Well, after 8 3-day walks, 8 years of walking, my friend Don and I decided that we needed a new challenge, and so we decided to give running a try. Since neither one of us knew what we were doing, we looked for a training tool to help us, and we found a podcast called Couch to 5K. And it's 9 weeks, just 3 times a week, just 30 minutes a day of interspersed walking and running. It's narrated by a British woman named Laura. And she has a lovely, soothing voice. And the first week, there was just a couple of rounds of 60 seconds of running with lots of cushions of walking on both sides. It's not just intent on getting you to run a 5K, but it's also meant to instill the love of running. And Laura provides instruction and encouragement and affirmation with each new level of achievement. But it also helped me to know that I actually had a running partner who was going to be meeting me on the corner and expecting me to show up for that next session of our Couch to 5K. This was a place where I could restart my running. And while I have to confess, even still today, I don't think I can say I love running. I do know this: I love chocolate. And I love the benefits that running gives to me in my life. Well, that's what we've been hoping this series would do for you, that it could be a place where your faith could have a restart, because everything has a starting point. Most of us have learned about faith as children, but as we grew up, we experienced some of the more challenging and heartbreaking aspects of life. And now we had questions where our childhood faith is no longer enough. Some of us even walked away from faith entirely. And this series has looked at ways of new starting points for faith. In our final message today, we're going to hear Jesus' final instructions to his followers from the Gospel of Matthew about what to do with that faith. And it says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We, like the disciples, have been invited to be a part of a movement, the greatest movement in human history. This movement, the church, has not always got it right. But because it is built on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, ultimately, there's nothing that can stop it. And despite all efforts to squash it early on, this movement would spread throughout the world and even outlast the mighty Roman Empire, the empire that crucified Jesus and killed his followers. But now, 2,000 years later, where do we see the Roman Empire? In history books and archaeological sites. But the Church of Jesus Christ continues to move forward, because the church is the hope of the world, and the church is the vehicle by which God is bringing solutions to the greatest problems facing humanity. And we are invited to be a part of that movement. In this passage, Jesus invites us to participate in this multi-ethnic, multinational, unstoppable activity of God on earth. The foundation of this movement is not a truth claim, something that claims to be true without evidence, but rather an event, Jesus' resurrection, that resulted in a promise to be with you always, a promise that has been kept. Jesus says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And he also said, "Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there will I be also." So what is it? What is different about gathering together? Something happens when Christians come together and become the church, a holy assembly infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, that when gathered together, Christ can work through us in ways we cannot alone. You may remember that the word used for church in the New Testament is ekklesia, and it comes from those two Greek words, ek, meaning set apart, and kaleo, meaning called. So the church is a group of people set apart from ordinary life and called for a bigger purpose than any one of us can accomplish alone. Ekklesia. This movement began around the event of Jesus' resurrection, and it lasted for about 2 years, but then the persecution began and the movement stopped. And then 20 years later, when the movement needed a new leader, who did God choose to lead this movement? Perhaps the most unlikely person of all, Saul. You see, it was well known throughout the region that Saul was the chief enemy and the main persecutor of Christians. He was a highly educated man, and he truly believed that Christians were a credible threat to Judaism. He hated Christians so much that his mission in life was to persecute them without mercy. He was also determined to persecute the first followers, but he even pursued women as well as men. So what was God thinking when he chose Saul? On his journey to Damascus to capture Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem, God stopped Saul in his tracks, and he had a personal encounter with the risen Christ. A light from heaven flashed all around him, and he instantly fell to the ground. Now blinded, he was lying there, completely helpless in the dust and the dirt of the road. He was instantly transformed from a threatening, powerful persecutor to a pitiful shell of a man in profound need of help. Can you see God at work here? The living Christ was not simply intervening to protect the apostles in Damascus, but the voice that Saul heard, the voice that said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" We now know was the voice of God. And God had big plans for Saul and his fledgling church. With God, the picture is always big, and each one of us, like Saul, has a precious part in it. So being blinded by the light and with the help of his assistants, Saul went into the city to wait. And after waiting on the Spirit, he was given new eyes of faith and new eyes of the heart, so to see those people that he once hated in a new light. And it was through baptism that he became a part of this new community. Saul, now renamed Paul, was able to see himself through the eyes of Christ for the very first time. And he was also able to see Christians and Gentiles, the Greeks, the Romans, and the Syrians in a new light. Paul was filled with the light of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and his eyes were opened to a new identity, a new community, and a new way of being. So to us, Paul can be an example of how to open our eyes to the wonders and possibilities of a new life in Christ. Perhaps the most dramatic sign of Paul's conversion was his passionate commitment to now share the gospel with the Gentiles. Paul's conversion wasn't from one religion to another, but instead a total change of heart and mind that converted him from passionately and sometimes even violently opposing the inclusion of Gentiles to becoming the greatest proponents of including them. Paul devoted the rest of his life to establishing and nurturing churches rather than focusing on the conversion of individual people because he knew the power of community, of ecclesia. So Paul went from being the greatest threat to Christians to being the greatest champion of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what happened to Paul? He was arrested, he was beaten, he was thrown into prison in Rome, and he was eventually beheaded for his beliefs. Was it worth it? Do you think if we could go back today and talk to Paul and say, look at the church today, would Paul say it was worth it? I believe he would. Matthew 16 says that there is nothing that will stop the church. And today there are many who believe that the church has ceased to be useful, with numbers declining and churches closing across the nation and the world. But if God is behind it, can anything stop it? Last week, we reintroduced our breakthrough prayer in an effort to restart our faith together as Messiah Church. We passed out prayer bracelets and prayer cards in hopes that you would set your alarms to 7:45 a.m. and p.m. and begin again to pray this prayer together. Last Monday morning, I was out walking our dog Carson, and my breakthrough prayer alarm went off. And so I stopped, and I was by this beautiful pond near our home. And the sun was just above the horizon, and I prayed that prayer. And I thought of you, this church, this ecclesia, because we are a group of people called out and set apart to do life together. Christianity is not a solitary sport. It is a team sport, and we are the team. And we can do so much more together than we can do as individuals. Have you personally seen any results of this breakthrough prayer, of praying this breakthrough prayer? I think sometimes, unless the results and changes are big and bold and obvious, like tidal waves that roll over us, we can easily dismiss or maybe completely miss them. So this morning, I want to share a story with you about a breakthrough that you may not even be aware of. Let's take a look.
Hi, everybody. My name is Carrie, and it's great to see you this morning. I read a lot better than I talk, so bear with me when I look down every now and then for the video here. I'm a music teacher, and I teach in Madison, Wisconsin. I had the opportunity to live and work in Minneapolis for part of last year. I'm sure most of you don't know who I am, but I got to know quite a bit of you last year. However, Phil from the baritone section, if you're here this morning, a big special hi to you, and go Gophers. Last year became an opportunity for me to reinvent my already great life in multiple ways. Part of this was an opportunity to open myself to the possibility of religion in my life again, and this opening and softening of my soul to that happened at your home of Messiah Church last year. I first came to your church in early September of last year, thanks to the invitation of my dear friends Tammy and Jerry Lukart. Not knowing exactly what to expect, and admittedly a bit nervous walking in, I was immediately at home. From your greetings, your care in getting to know an unfamiliar face, your singing of the song All Are Welcome, And that led to a service that I found full of inclusion, a lack of judgment, and warmth in your church. I, for many years prior to this, had not given up on my faith, but had on religion in many ways, and I chose to separate the two and not identify with a religion or a church. Religion and going to church had for a long time left me with feelings of anger, frustration, and kind of ruined my faith. This changed dramatically for me, and I grew more open each time I returned to Messiah last year. You filled me with a warmth and a hope, and so I want to thank you for being the amazing community that you are, and know that without knowing it, you opened the possibility of religion to my heart and soul once again. Back in Madison, I have found a similar community, also based on an invitation, at our Methodist church here in Madison, where my husband and I have started to make a faith home there. So again, thank you for being who you are and for always doing all you can for as many people in as many ways as you can.
Did you know that? Did you know you did that? That is the ecclesia at work. And while it may appear small or completely unnoticeable to us, it is huge in the life of my friend Carrie. And who knows how many other life-changing stories similar to this one exist. So when Jesus says go and make disciples, it simply means go and live your life as a disciple of Christ. And through our faith, we allow God to do the engineering. And that's exactly what you did for Carrie. On the last Saturday in August, just this past August, we presented our first launch seminar here at Messiah Church. Launch is a 3.5-hour seminar designed to help you reflect and on how God has uniquely created you to serve. After the seminar, each participant was assigned a coach who continues to help them develop their God dream today. And folks, we have some amazing stories coming out of that first launch. This week in your mail, you're going to receive a newsletter from the Servant Steering Team. And in that newsletter, there is a story about a Messiah member named Maria and how she is diving headfirst and wholeheartedly into her God dream. I hope you'll read it. And this morning, I want to share another God dream. And it comes from members Lee Stagney and his daughter, Melissa. Take a look.
Hi, Mr. Chip. My name is Melissa Stagney. My dream is to have a business where me and my friends can work every day, have fun, and make a little money.
Hi, Chip. My name's Lee, and I'm Melissa's dad, and I'm helping her with her new business. Chip, Melissa was born with a rare metabolic disorder called propionic acidemia. She almost died when she was 4 days old, but thanks to a fantastic medical team, today, she's 28 years old, and she's one of the oldest living persons with propionic acidemia. But because of her disorder, she has disabilities. And like millions of others with disabilities, she can't find a job. You know, October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And, you know, many families start a business so their disabled children can work there. And that's just what we're going to do. We started a business called Inner Lighting. And we're going to be selling a new light that we've invented called Lumacross. As you can see, our light is in the shape of a cross. It replaces light bulbs and lamps. It uses LEDs and has no toxic materials. And of course, it's energy efficient. This is our prototype. So Chip, now we need some money to make a crowdfunding video and promote it to Christians on social networks like Facebook. We'd love it if you and Joe could appear in the video and encourage your millions of Christian fans to consider putting a Lumacross in their home. Maybe Joe could even put one into a home she's decorating for Fixer Upper. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys could even sell it on the Magnolia website.
Thank you, Mr. Chip and Ms. Joe, for helping me and my dad.
We really appreciate the opportunity to present Melissa's dream. Thank you, and best of luck to you in your final season of Fixer Upper. Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing dream, right? Do you know the show Fixer Upper?
Yes.
So Chip, one of the hosts, had a dream come true contest, and Melissa and Lee submitted this video, this entry, and they found out just last week that they did not win the contest. But does that mean that their dream has died? Absolutely not. Their dream lives on because it's a God dream, and it'll be exciting to see how God works in their lives. So let me leave you with this question. During this series, have you been able to restart your faith? Have you thought about how you can use your strengths and weaknesses and experiences to draw others closer to Christ? What will be your next step in engaging more fully in the mission of the church? Maybe it's by serving on a team or working on a work day this Saturday at Make a Difference Day. Perhaps it's increasing your giving or maybe taking a first step into giving. Maybe it's inviting a friend to worship. Or maybe you'd like to be a reading buddy across the street at Oakwood Elementary School. Or perhaps there's a neighbor or a coworker who needs someone to take a walk and be a compassionate listener. Paul challenges us to live lives worthy of the calling we have received, the awesome privilege of being called Christ's very own. He reminds us that our mission is to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Each person is uniquely and wonderfully made with individual gifts and passion, and to each the grace of Christ has been given. Different gifts and viewpoints add to the beauty of the body of Christ. And when we can focus on how our differences bless us instead of how they divide us, we can begin to live into this idea of ecclesia. So like Paul, we are sent to go and share Christ's love with others. Jesus said, "Come with me and then go to those that you see as strangers. Go even to those you have seen as enemies. Go in my name, and if you do, your eyes will be opened again and again." Let us pray. O God, whose Son revealed himself on the road to Damascus and who reveals himself still today on mountaintops and hillsides and cities and on shores, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all of his redeeming work and may join him in welcoming and shepherding his people, the people he calls, all people, all God's children. Amen.